You have found a place to learn, encourage, support each other, be real, and have fun. Join us on a journey to becoming better versions of ourselves. Welcome to The Grind. Here are your hosts, Matt Buckner and Bob Page.
Welcome to The Grind, the official Missing Chins Run Club podcast. This is episode number 3. A very special guest on the line, waiting, ready to go. Matt, tell us who it is.
Today, it is Jason Cohen.
Inside each and every one of you is an inexhaustible well of grit, guts, and determination. And when you need it the most, all you have to do is have the courage to reach down inside and get it. You just don't quit. Leadville Trail 100 pain is only going to last for 30 hours till you step on that finish line. Because I will tell you, you cross that finish line is magic. That finish line will change your life. What will get you to the finish line, that one thing, that's commitment. Total commitment. I'm going to ask you, will you make that commitment? Can you stand up with me? Can you stand up with me and say, I commit, I won't quit. I commit, I won't quit. I commit, I won't quit. We're going to see you at the finish line. Talk about it, brother. The family of God.
What's up, Jason?
I feel like my voice compared to y'all is lacking from a marketing.
We'll fix it in the mix. Standpoint. We'll fix it in the mix. Are you using your Sennheiser Presence Bluetooth headset?
But of course.
But of course, then it'll be fine.
Yeah, it sounds great to me.
It does. It sounds good. You're loud and clear.
Oh no, I just mean you guys sound so on point. Like you sound like you actually do this for a living.
No, we don't. No, we don't sound like that. Well, Bob actually does do this for a living. Bob is a radio guy by trade.
That's my normal life.
Podcast genius by hobby. And I'm just some hack that I don't know why I'm here, actually. But because I know Jason Cohen is why I'm here tonight. So Jason.
First, tell the people a little bit about Jason Cohen that don't know them.
I'm gonna. So, Jason Cohen... actually, I came to know Jason because he interviewed me for his podcast called The Big Change. He's actually creator of the movie The Big Change, which will be released soon. Jason, he said yes. he has also just released his documentary called Heavy as Lead that he is also the star of, about his journey to running the Leadville Trail 100 after losing 125 pounds, am I right?
Yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood
of 125.
Man, I relate to that story so much, right up until the point where you ran 100 miles.
Well, you're at that point right now, Bob. That's where you're at. You're just on the you're where Jason was a year ago. That's where you're at. About to run 100 miles.
You know, part of the trouble is that you know, everything seems crazy until you start hanging out with crazy people, and then suddenly the crazy things don't seem so crazy anymore.
Yep.
That is so true.
A good friend of mine says that you are the sum of your 5 closest friends.
You can't do epic shit with basic people.
Boom.
That's right.
Exactly.
Amen.
Which is actually leads me to the first part of this. Well, actually, no, let me back up. The first part of this, the final part of the intro, is that Jason is a new daddy.
Nice.
Jason's got a little boy named Louie, who's adorable. A brilliant wife named Jen, who puts up with all of Jason's crap. But tell us about fatherhood, Jason, because that's one of my favorite things. So, and I'm sure one of Bob's favorite things too. So what's it like being a new dad?
It's good. We, Matt has met our little guy several times, and he's great. I mean, it's been fantastic. He's healthy, which, of course, you know, the number one thing, you always, number one priority, and he's healthy, he's happy, he sleeps at night, he's really, I don't want to say easy baby, but he certainly has, made the first 9 months a joyous one. So, yeah, it's great. And, my wife, is a teacher, so she just actually went back to school. So he and I are hanging out a lot more, just the two of us, which is fun. And, for the first couple months of his life, it was in Louisiana, it was cool. And so he was my running buddy. And, now, of course, it's been so hot, so I'm pretty excited about next couple of months getting cool again so he can be my running buddy again.
Right, right.
And enjoy these easy years. One day he'll be 12 to 18.
Exactly.
And he'll talk back to me and throw stuff at me.
It's all sass and back talk like my boy.
Yeah, both of my kids are grown adults and moved out and doing their own thing, but man, let me tell you.
And you're raising him to as a whole food plant-based kid, am I right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Nice.
He goes to Mother's Day out a couple days a week, and he's got the I'm allergic to milk and dairy thing on his name tag, and yeah, it's been great. You know, we may or may not talk about it, but you know, I ended up being big, large in part, you know. As I know now because of my food decisions.
Right.
And I just think to myself all the time, if I would have, you know, we're just, not that my parents didn't, because honestly I don't remember, but I mean, there's not much that we have not had him try at this point. You know, he's eaten beets and sweet potatoes for dinner and
right.
green beans and cauliflower. And I mean, he is a pretty diverse, he has a way more diverse diet at 9 months than I ever did in my teens or 20s.
Right.
It's amazing. It's almost like he's growing up like in a household that speaks two languages. So it's just going to become natural where if you're an adult and you try to learn that second language, it's a little bit more difficult.
Right. Immersion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think I was, you know, it certainly developed over time for me. And then of course, you know, once you get out of school and out of the house, then it, you know, you're left to your own devices. And of course I always said to myself, I don't like based foods, or, you know, I chose to not expose myself to a lot of that. And so, you know, hopefully by doing this, you know, by doing things the way we're doing it now, he'll be exposed to a ton of stuff and, you know, make it easier. And then hopefully, you know, on the back end, he'll be able to avoid, you know, the issues that I had with weight and with, you know, all the things that come with that.
Right. No, I think that's, you know, when my son was born, obviously I wasn't whole food plant-based yet. And so, and we, you know, and unfortunately we did everything our doctors told us to. Mm-hmm. So, although, you know, we made great choices and, you know, the baby food thing where, you know, I mean, Zach turned orange because he ate too many carrots, you know, so we always had the vegetable thing going on, but I always kind of think, man, if from birth, if he had been exposed to that, it would have been a lot easier. But, you know, I think that's, I just thought that was really cool and worth mentioning that, that you've had that opportunity with Louis. So,
I mean, I think no, go ahead, Jason.
I was just saying, you know, if we would have had a kid whenever we were 20 or 25, you know, if we'd have had a kid right after we first got married, it may have been a different outcome. And I was, funny enough, Matt and I did a run this summer together, and a couple days after that, I was at a, still in the same area, and I was at a, stopped in at, you know, Whole Foods, and there was a family eating next to us, and it was a mom and a dad, and they were both really big, and, you know, they had four kids, and all four kids were really big.
Yep.
And, you know, I thought to myself, if I wouldn't have, you know, made the changes that I made, then that would have become the family legacy of, you know, of him potentially, you know, like that's just what he would have grown up knowing, in the same way that, you know, the people that were sitting at the table next to me, you know, like they were where I, you know, that dad was where I was headed,
right.
Where I was, you right. know, I may have even been bigger than him. And, right. you know, and then you realize like, oh, that, you know, the parents are eating this, it gets passed on to the kids are eating this, they're blowing up, you know, it's what they know, and it's what, I mean, in a way it reminded me of looking at, you know, Josh's family or Johnny,
right.
And I think I shared that story with him and thought to myself, like, I'm seeing his trajectory. Like, I could see him and Dustin and their sister and those kids that were sitting around the table, but I could also see myself with potentially my child at that table,
right.
You know? So, I mean, we really do have the ability to rewrite our stories and take control of it.
And you've done that in a big way, and you've translated that into the Big Change Project, where you've not only had another documentary in the works about that, where you tracked not only your changes, but Josh LaJohnny, Tim Kaufman, Tim's wife. Who else is featured in that?
Yeah, it's obviously the two of them. Melita Basson, who is a itinerant teacher of the blind in Boston. She's actually the only person out of her family of five with sight.
Right.
Also two out of her three kids have pretty significant autism. And so she's kind of our family person, you know, if anybody can do it, it's her, just right. With a crazy schedule and life and all the demands. And then Denise Norris, who is in Indiana and, overcame abuse and, just a tremendous amount, and they both have lost also a tremendous amount of weight. Mm-hmm.
And you actually just finished filming and doing the final interviews for the conclusion of that, right? Just earlier this year, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, of course, there's always the chance of needing to get pickup shots and things like that.
Right.
But the idea is that hopefully the lion's share of that is done now, and now it's a matter of getting into the editing and the story and all of that.
Bob knows all about the editing aspect of
sure.
he doesn't envy you that part.
No, I mean, but it's all part of the process. But that's, I mean, going back to your son, that is pretty like that. Just kind of like I never even because my kids are adults and they were not raised that way, and they think I'm crazy now at this point. But they're absolutely cool. They understand and they see the change that it's made in my life. And you just look in the Missing Chins group and the change it's made in so many other people's lives. If kids could grow up that way,
right,
with
right.
that knowledge
right.
and being healthy and the way children are so sedentary these days,
right.
you know, behind a computer screen or an iPad or something, I mean, it would make a world of difference.
Right. No, definitely.
It's so commendable that, I mean, at this point, there's no way I think that you would probably do it any other way.
Right.
But looking from the outside in, I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. But there's got to be some people, though, who are like, that's not good. You shouldn't do that.
Right.
But they're the same people that tell us that. So
actually, one of those people was your son's pediatrician. Am I right?
Yeah, she wasn't super, you know, I'm very fortunate in that a close friend and kind of a business partner is Dr. Lori Marbus.
Yes. We're going to get into that. We should get into that now.
As she says, she's like the doctor in our pocket. So
right.
I'll text her a question or Jen will say like, hey, he's got this going on or what do you think about this? So it's really good because we have access to a whole food plant-based doctor who also, you know, is more intelligent than most people, doctors are otherwise included. But yeah, our pediatrician, you know, was not super stoked on several things as it pertained to, you know, doing whole food plant-based. She was of course terrified with the idea that we were doing soy milk, and there were a couple other things that all basically boiled down to, you know, us doing whole food plant-based. And you know, we just said, hey, look, you know, I recognize that people get to a place where they're at because of their life experiences, and she, you know, she doesn't know us, she doesn't know
right.
my journey, our journey, and she probably doesn't, you know, maybe hasn't taken the time to learn the information
right.
And so we kind of just have to, you know, say like, hey, is he healthy, does he weigh enough, you know, is he getting everything he needs? But you know, for our more important stuff, we usually kind of default to Lori.
I can't imagine as a new parent, you've got that tremendous amount of self-doubt anyway. And then if you didn't have you know, such a resource like Lori, where they would, you know, your pediatrician says, oh yeah, I'm really concerned, you need to do this, you need to do that, I'm going to recommend cow's milk, I'm going to recommend meat, you know, and you're like, of course you're going to do it, it's your child's right. doctor. I mean, you're not going to be, oh, I know more than you. It's so, you know, even to be hit with those outside stressors like that, where you're, you know, it's a hard enough decision to make, and even being completely armed with all the knowledge, and then you'd second guess yourself. You absolutely want what's best for your child. And when someone in that position unknowingly challenges that, I mean, you'd start to question everything. So I think, you know, again, it's, you guys are really fortunate to have, like you said, the doctor in your pocket, which I definitely want to talk about that, because healthy human revolution is your thing that you've got going with Dr. Lori Marvis, Anthony Masiello, and yourself. And how long has that been going now? Probably about almost a year.
Yeah, we've been just over a year. I mean, with the podcast, to kind of give a little context, I started doing the podcast because I realized there were so many stories out there, and I was working on the film, and I knew that, you know, time and budgetary wise and otherwise, I would only have an opportunity to tell four stories in kind of a feature length, you know, documentary format. But there were these, you know, dozens and hundreds of people who had done amazing things. So how do I get their, you know, like, maybe I can help get their stories out there. So I started doing, you know, weekly interviews with that. And I think I ended up with around 105, 110 right. with the combined weight loss between all the guests of about 13,000 pounds.
Wow.
And really all of that was, and all of this was, you know, I'm only at a place, you know, I've only lost the weight, maintained it, kept it off, developed the habits that I have because of the kindness and the help of others. And so part of my, you know, my hope is to find ways to give back. And that's what I'm, you know, I've been trying to do with the film, what I've tried to do with the podcast. And I also realized, like, I'm a really, you know, my passion lies in storytelling. And you know, people would oftentimes come to me and say, hey, how, you know, I watched the interview, I've, you know, watched the trailer for the documentary, I want to take things to the next level. And it, you know, that was kind of the end of the road for me. So I ended up teaming up with Lori and Anthony with the idea that they would be able to help me build resources, and together, you know, we could kind of build resources for people to help them get some of that information before they go to their doctor, or some of the practical steps. You know, Lori's got, you know, three kids, and she used to be a family physician, so she's got a lot of those things figured out, as far as how do you raise a kid on a plant-based diet. And so we've been doing it for about a year. We just had our first conference, and you know, the idea is really just to try and bring educational resources, whether it be on the diet side of things, you know, actual food in the kitchen, or the mindset, you know, how you talk to your doctor, all those kinds of things. Just give people kind of a one-stop shop for resources to right. be able to do this life, this lifestyle, eat this way, and be armed with the tools and the education to make it work for them.
Right. Which I think is a great resource. And, you know, you and I have had this conversation separately where we've talked about, you know, there's a lot of programs like yours, from Josh's program with Sick to Fit to the Engine 2 with Rip Esselstyn to, you know, there's a multitude of them. But, you know, even though the protocols are essentially the same, I think it's not one size fits all, and something that speaks to one person might not speak to another. So I think, you know, just the same as our group is the Missing Chins, where, you know, a lot of guys that resonates with them are tough love mentality inside that group, but a lot of people would feel pretty put off by that, obviously, that they don't respond well to that. So I think it's, you know, one of our goals through this podcast is to introduce a lot of people to a lot of different outlets for the same information, just maybe bottled in a different way. So that it doesn't have to be one size fits all.
And you never know what's going to resonate with somebody.
Exactly.
They might hear something from somebody and be like, nah, it means nothing to me. But then hear right. the same exact thing said just a little bit differently, and like that will click.
Exactly. Exactly. So I wanted to, you know, talk about how you and I met. Actually, you interviewed me on The Big Change because Tim Kaufman introduced you and I. We'd never met before that. And then during the course of that interview, at the end, you asked me if I was going to do Leadville that year, called me out, and I agreed to it and did it. But that the backstory to that, which I think is important for everyone, especially in the Chins group, to know, is that you actually were kind of the start of this whole Leadville pilgrimage that this Missing Chins group does every year. You happened upon that just out on summer vacation, right? And happened through Colorado and found a race in Leadville and signed up for it spur of the moment and did it and started telling other people about it and then, you know, calling them out during podcast interviews, right? Is that how it happened? Am I right?
That's a great summation. Yeah.
That's my version of it, damn it.
little did I know how motivated you would be by being publicly
publicly
called out. Shame.
Yeah, Leadville, for people who haven't been, sometimes I feel like a stereotypical vegan or CrossFitter. It's like, shut up about Leadville already. but Leadville, like a lot of people, I read Born to Run, and right. You know, in the endurance community, Leadville is kind of a place that people put up on a mail, and yeah. You know, and it's almost this mystic like place. And it's really kind of become a mecca for ultra endurance athletes, or just anybody who's in the biking, mountain biking, or trail running community. My wife and I were on vacation. We passed through Leadville, and it was 4 days before the race, and ended up kind of randomly finding out that the race was happening 4 days later. I told my wife I wanted to stick around. She said absolutely not, and so.
Because she's a smart woman,
and you know, I had never run a race before. The longest I had run was I think 8 miles or so at sea level, and then the next morning I realized how underprepared I was, just from a kind of a materials level. And I called Josh to ask him, like, hey, how often do I eat? What do I eat? What do I drink? Like, I mean, I didn't know, you know. I had done a bunch of cycling events, but I'd never done anything running.
Right.
And he ended up booking a ticket. He flew up either the same day or the next day, and we ran the race that first year together. And
crazy.
Yeah, it's become a very special place to me for other reasons as well, and for other events. But you know, it was really my. I'm sure a lot of people have that moment for them where they realize how far they've come. And whether that's after you've lost the first 5 pounds, or you can run a quarter of a mile or a tenth of a mile, or you can bend down and tie your shoes, or whatever that moment is, there was a moment when I was coming down the finish line on 6th Street, and for the marathon, half marathon, the way that you actually run, you look at the finish line, and above it, there's a huge mountain range.
Right.
And I just kind of realized, like, I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't, 300-pound me would have never seen this sight. You know, I wouldn't have been able to walk around Leadville, right. Much less run in Leadville.
Right.
And so, you know, that first year with Josh, really, you know, I kind of became a runner at that moment, or at least, you know, in a way I thought I had become a runner. And so, you know, then it was like, we got to get more people here. And so every year has kind of been a pretty special, it's one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Right.
So within the Missing Chins group, that exists now, everybody pretty much knows what Leadville is. But now that this is public, right. And we're reaching a different audience, not everybody has the full grasp of what Leadville is. So did you the heavy half that first time? Or
yeah, I did the heavy half, which it's 15 and a half miles. You start at 10,000 feet, and it's about 3,000 feet a gain. Over those 15 and a half miles. So first year it was just Josh and I, and then another buddy of his, Doug Barnett, was there that I kind of met that first year. And so Josh was a little aware that the race, I think, was going on, or he had talked to Doug the fact that he was there going. And then the next year, we kind of had a pretty decent sized group. We probably had 10 or 15, and the next year, we probably had closer to 30 or 40.
Right.
And this last year, I'm not sure.
I think it was
the last
2 years.
I'm not sure how many we've had, but it's, you know, I mean, I think we're on our, this will be Josh and I's fourth. This was Josh and I's fourth or fifth year, I think.
Right. And so, yeah, and it has grown every year. And then, so from there, take me from you have that epiphany coming down the finish for the heavy half, the first time running it, thinking to yourself, I'm not even supposed to be here right now. And yeah. then a very short amount of time later, you've decided you're going to tackle the LT 100, the 100-mile
wow.
race at Leadville. How do you get from there to there? I mean, that's an insurmountable thing in my mind, yet you really quickly got from point A to point B.
Yeah, I don't, for me, when I think about it, it's not a super straight line. It's kind of hard to connect the dots, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to, like, think about the fact that it actually happened.
Doesn't seem real, right?
But, but, you know, I think it's the same, again, to go back to, like, whether you're losing your first 1 pound, 2 pound, 5 pounds, or you're walking your first half block or two blocks, like there becomes a moment in which you start to see progress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that progress, as a lot of people know, and as you guys know, can be very addictive. And so when you see that you've lost five pounds and you've kept it off, or 10 pounds or 20 pounds, and you haven't been able to lose 5 or 15 or 20 pounds for your entire life or your entire adult life, then, at least for me, I started thinking to myself, well, maybe there's something else out here. Like, maybe there's more beyond this 5 pounds or this 10 pounds. So I've kind of approached everything along the way in that same way. You know, you run that first Leadville heavy half, and then you think, like, wow, this is incredible. I wasn't supposed to be here. Like, I can't believe this has happened. But then at the same time, you're thinking, well, if this is available to me, if I can accomplish this, then maybe there's actually some more untapped potential. And so the next year I did a heavy half. And, you know, Leadville, the town itself, if people aren't familiar with it, Leadville was, you know, they had a mine that was basically the employer for the entire town, more or less. And overnight it closed. It became the town with the highest unemployment in the nation. And Leadville was, you know, the people of Leadville were told, like, you have to figure out something to do ASAP or this is going to become a ghost town. And so Ken Clauber had the idea to do a 100-mile race. At the time, the only 100-mile race in America was Western States. So Leadville was the second 100-mile race. And he said, you know, we have to do something to try and save our town. And so he created this race series. There was, like, 43 people there the first year. And the Leadville 100 literally saved the town of Leadville. And I don't think you can say that about any other race, probably anywhere else in the world.
Right.
And so when you're in Leadville, you know, it's not like showing up to a casual 5K or 10K or half marathon or half marathon. The race series and all the races that happen there are in the fabric of that town. And because of that, when you do one thing, you're very quickly made aware that there are all these other things that happen there. And, you know, I never thought I could run a half marathon. So to think that, like, you know, in the back of my mind, there was this little kernel that said, like, maybe there is still more for you out there. And you know, all these things, I know for me at least, and for a lot of people, serve as a, you know, once you do something, it serves as a reminder to you day in and day out. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the fact that I ran that race.
Right.
You know, it's like it has helped define my new perceived limits of possibility. And so, you know, it's like I wanted more. And I realized that, you know, like, if I believed in myself, if I put in the hard work, that I could accomplish it, you know. And so I just slowly started chipping away, and did what I thought was best as far as, you know, training goes. And I did get into the lottery, which I was very fortunate to. And I just, you know, set a ton of attention to doing the race. And so, I didn't do a bunch of races in between. I think I did the Leadville heavy half, then I did the full, then I did the heavy half again, and then I did the 100.
Right. Wow.
And I think I did a 10K somewhere in there. So, you know, I'm not a big race guy.
Right.
But I am I'm a fan of the idea of believing in yourself and committing to something that you know you can do and following through with it. I think I did a really bad job of addressing your question.
No, I think you did a perfect job.
Nailed
of
it.
Addressing the question, actually. And that, and I, you did leave one part out though. What was the longest training run you did building up to running the 100-mile race?
Okay, preface it. Please
do not try this at home.
Running.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't take this. Matt knows how impeccable my training schedule and log is.
Yes.
So don't take this as any information. But my longest run before the 100 was 31 miles.
Oh, yes. Now, and obviously, I had the opportunity to pace and crew for you during your 100 miler. And you would have thought that he ran 100 miles every morning before breakfast because the race went flawlessly. And there is a little asterisk there that it wasn't your intent, but that you did have a slight foot injury that you didn't want to make worse. So you were holding the mileage down intentionally. So
yeah,
we want to frame it correctly, but I did want to kind of
can't even,
but you know, yeah, I'm not one that anybody should trust from a training standpoint. And also speed and placement and some of those things that for some people are a big motivator. Like they don't even, it's like I'm colorblind to the idea of like a finish time and things like that. But I'm a big fan of going into something like I would rather go in a little undertrained and feel as fresh as possible than overtrained and feeling a little bit beaten up.
Right.
So I've done kind of the same thing when I used to do bike races.
Right.
You know, like I know in my head that I could do the distance and I could do it in an amount of time that I needed to do it in. You know, same thing with, we don't necessarily need to talk about it, but when I did the Grand Canyon in the summer with Matt, you know, it was a 47-mile run. My longest run in training was 13 miles.
Right.
Now, granted, there are no cutoffs at the Grand Canyon, and there are at Leadville.
Right.
I am a fan of keeping mileage down from a wear standpoint.
Right. No, and I think I mean, people might disagree with that training method, but it seems to be working really well for you. So I don't know, maybe we should take a closer look at that because it serves you well. You perform really well at those distances without a huge volume of miles leading up to it. So maybe there's something to that.
I think you're seeing some stuff out there that's saying that you don't need to do that as much anymore. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, the no jump.
I think if you want to win a race or you want to, you know, maybe if you wanted to finish sub 25 at Leadville or sub 24 at other races, maybe it would require a little bit more, you know, just, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, my body felt, you know, I have an ongoing foot injury, but I've had it since last, you know, January, and I still run, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week. So it's nothing major. It's just something to be aware of. But I, you know, I do think like, you know, during the training for that race, you know, I realized that everything I needed to do training wise was happening between my ears and my body was going to be fine.
Right.
You know, like nobody shows up to very few people show up to the start of the Leadville 100 without being physically there or any other 100-mile race or, you know, any other race distance for that matter. But, you know, I had made it in my mind that I was going to have the mental fortitude to push forward no matter what. And I was going to be positive while doing it. And you know, for that, like what I was going to do with my body was kind of already decided. That makes sense.
Right. So I want to leave it there because there's actually a documentary that you just released called Heavy as Lead that actually chronicles this journey that took you from being overweight through completing the Leadville 100. So, where's the best place for people to find that? On YouTube or
Yeah, you can look up Heavy as Lead on YouTube, mm-hmm. or you can go to heavyaslead.com, and that'll take you to the link as well.
Is that going to be shown at any film festivals or anything like that?
I'm not sure. So kind of the guy who convinced me to get in front of the camera for that, I was a little hesitant. I was a lot hesitant to get in front of the camera. And my buddy, who was also a pacer and crew and film, Mark LeBlanc, has talked to me about the possibility of possibly submitting to some film festivals. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, all I was looking to do was have it hopefully be seen by a couple people that it would, you know, get them out the door for a run or help them realize that, you know, they can take control of their life. My goal was never to try and get any kind of real attention or money or anything else with it, you know. So if Mark decides to do some film festival stuff, I'm certainly open to it. But for me, I'm perfectly happy with just a few people seeing it and hopefully getting a little inspiration to make some changes in their own life from it.
Right. Awesome. So I know that, you know, you agreed to do this on short notice, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but...
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, cool. But we also, I think it's done exactly what you want it to do. It's inspired a lot of people. The post that when I posted the link on my Facebook page, a lot of people responded positively to it. And I think, you know, it's kind of timely that Game Changers was just released. It had its debut in theaters. You know, I took my son to see it. He was inspired. And, you know, as a dad, when you're taking your kid to see a movie like that, it's like, well, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. You know, it's not Spider-Man, so he might fall asleep, yeah, or he might want to leave or... But he was very inspired by it. It spoke to him. And, you know, me sitting there, I'm like, of course, I love the movie, but I also don't think the movie was made for me, right? It was made for people that are looking for that inspiration or that knowledge or just the, you know, and I think that Game Changers did a great job of that, of showing that, hey, here's what the results of this protocol are from an athletic point of view, from a high level. I think your, you know, Heavy as Lead shows a journey, your personal journey, but I love that it's framed around that, where, you know, you're not doing it necessarily to, I'm going to go win a marathon or I'm going to go train and run the fastest mile. It's that you're actually looking for what's next, because you feel like you've unlocked something. So you don't know what your limits are. So with that being said, then what is next? What's next on the docket for you?
Well, you know, they do say that parenthood is like a ultra marathon. So
yes, it is.
We got some time ahead.
Yes.
My wife tells me I get to do one dumb thing a year.
All right. I like that rule. So I love that rule.
Last year was Leadville. This year was with the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
You know, maybe this is a great time to, since it's a proven method, to suggest to Matt what he should be preparing for next year.
Here it comes.
I had a great time. Matt and I were at the Grand Canyon with a couple of friends, and we did a run. It was great. You know, when you're on the starting line of a race, there's all the nerves, and you have everybody around you, and, you know, in a longer distance race, you have cutoff time, so you're constantly worried about that. And it was like, we went to the Grand Canyon. It was just a bunch of friends hanging out, having fun, laughing. You know, the mood was totally different. And so...
the pictures were, you know, stunning.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know... And by the way, for anybody who ever... You know, I was talking to somebody this week. I said, I would trade... somebody was like, oh, you run? Have you done Boston? Have you done New York? You know, like, they go to all the majors and all that kind of stuff. And I said, let me tell you, there is no marathon in the world that I would ever trade for spending a day in the Grand Canyon running. Like you can keep Boston, you can keep New York. I know that, right, you know, people will probably think differently,
right,
but there is nothing like seeing the sunrise and potentially seeing the sunset in the Grand Canyon, right, and your 2 feet carrying you from one side to the other,
yeah,
and possibly back. So, yeah. But, you know, so I'm kind of really intrigued by this idea of doing just like self-planned races. So I've got a couple different friends who are really intrigued by the 100-mile distance. And so we're talking about the possibility of next maybe June or July doing just like a 100-mile race for fun, parking cars along the way.
A 100-mile race for fun.
Just for funsies,
yeah. Just for fun, you know, just for giggles.
Just for fun. So, and one, which I don't know, I feel like, I mean, they don't own the land, right. So it's not like they could get mad, but the thought did occur to me it would be really cool to do like a Leadville 110 or Leadville 120 and basically do the race course but extend it a little bit, and then just do it, because so much of it's on the Colorado Trail,
right.
Or on public, you know, areas.
Right.
So Matt is officially, you've been invited.
I've been invited.
But you're officially documented.
Yes.
You're on the hook for next summer.
Yeah. No, I'm in.
Wow.
I committed to that.
And it would also be a little bit of a pick your own distance. You know, we'd maybe park cars and, you know,
right.
You'd either do 50 miles out and back, so 100 miles, or 55 or 60. And so we'd have cars parked along the way that would kind of serve as our aid stations.
I really did, though. That idea did speak to me, though. I mean, that made me feel scared to death in a completely different way, whereas entering a 100-mile race for everything you mentioned before with cutoff times and crew and pacers. So doing, you know, I guess the only way to describe it is a 100-mile fun run is really cool, because like you said, I mean, when we did the Grand Canyon, it was a completely different thing, and it was just, it didn't feel like, it certainly wasn't, you know, okay, ready, set, go. We were racing. It was a day. It was a bunch of guys having fun in the Grand Canyon.
I love this idea.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It's,
you should do it, Bob.
Bob,
do it.
I'm in.
You see what happens? You get on a phone call,
yep.
And then all of a sudden you find yourself at you know 12,000 feet above sea level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it, like, I'm like getting chills,
getting
now just thinking about it.
Right.
Like, what? Because you're right. Like, the race thing, there's something special to be said about it for sure.
Yeah.
But just to go hang out and
right.
do something, like, I mean, we said it at the top of the show. You can't do epic things with basic people.
That's right.
You just can't.
Yeah.
And when you hang around with Jason Cohen, you're probably going to get talked into running 100 miles. It's just going
to
happen.
Well, and which we'll have to think about it for next year. We're still, you know, obviously still kind of in the germination phase. But I also had custom medals,
yes.
buckles made for the Grand Canyon run.
Yes.
So
yes.
The other thing is,
Anthony,
you know,
Salas and I are going back for that, man. We're going back for that.
Yeah,
that's happening.
I've got it still. It's on my shelf. It's waiting for you.
You keep it right there, baby. I'm coming for it. Yeah, the plan was to do rim to rim to rim, and that's what I attempted and only completed rim to rim. I had some hydration issues, and so yeah, I mean, Anthony and I we've already talked about that, and that would be a good build up to get into this June July 100 miler that we're talking about.
Oh, now there's a qualifier for the 100 mile fun run.
Yeah, exactly. gotta do R3 first. Yeah, your qualifying run is R3. Yeah. So, no, I mean, I think it's great, though. I think that was a really, the Grand Canyon was a really special run. And again, you know, that's the difference, I guess, when you're hanging around this group in the Missing Chins, where instead most people, you see some runners that are like, okay, I did a marathon distance, check. And it's like, they're thinking, I never have to do that again. It's like, when we do these things, it's like, I can't wait to do that. Like, that was awful. That was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I can't wait till next year when we get to do that again. So yeah, I think, you know, Grand Canyon, I was, you know, obviously once I had slept and recovered a little bit, I was definitely already thinking about, Anthony and I have done nothing but talk about our return to the Grand Canyon next year. So count on that. And maybe we'll see Jim Walmsley down there like you did this year.
Wow.
Just happened to bump into Jim Walmsley. On a little training run on the way to crushing the course record at Western States. How about that? Got a little selfie with him while he was down there. While Jim goes running by.
He ran a half a mile with me. we chatted up a little bit.
That's
awesome. Where to get pizza in Flagstaff.
That's awesome. Told you where to get pizza in Flagstaff. That sounds exactly like Walmsley, right? Wow.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's one of the great things about what we do, our sport, yeah. is, you know, you're, it's pretty few and far between that you meet jerks out there,
right.
you know?
Right.
You know, everybody's out there to do a little bit better, you know, with themselves and make themselves better and to, you know, enjoy life. And obviously for us, you know, I feel like I'm enjoying a life that I spent a long time, you know, that was just absent.
That's a great way to put it. No, I mean, we all do yep. have some making up to do where we spend a lot of time eating cheeseburgers, sitting on the couch. And so so you're right. I love that we're
That's what we should start telling people. Like, why are you running doing these crazy things? I'm making up for lost time.
That's it. Just making up for lost time, man. We've done all the sitting around we can do.
Absolutely.
So, well, and yeah, and take from you running a half mile talking about where to get good pizza in Flagstaff with Walmsley to fast forward a couple of months and you're hosing down Goggins with insect repellent at Leadville.
I saw that video.
At Twin Lakes, right.
Ridiculous.
Like, that's Jason Cohen. That's Jason Cohen right there. It's like he's just like the... It's like, oh, let me get that for you, Mr. Goggins.
So, I didn't think he needed insect repellent.
I know, right?
So his sweat nice just guy. Warded insects off.
He was a very no. he was 100% polite, right? I mean,
yeah.
As he went
even
running
to the lady who
by.
Like as he was clearly not having a great time, came up and was like, "Oh my gosh, can I get a picture with you right now?"
She did not ask
like,
for a selfie.
Like, I'm literally. Yes, I'm literally like at one point I'm like spraying the back of her with insect repellent because she's like getting next to him.
Right. It's like get out of the way. Wow.
Yeah, there's always those people.
There is.
Yeah.
But no.
Well, good for him for being awesome.
Exactly. He was totally awesome.
Yeah.
And totally composed. So. Well, man, I don't know. I mean, we can't top hosing Goggins down with insect repellent. I don't think. I think we should just wrap it up right there.
Yeah. That's. That's
well,
ridiculous.
Well, we'll continue this conversation.
Oh, yes, we will.
I'm looking forward to my qualifying run.
Our 36-mile, our 36-hour or whatever it
yes,
takes.
Exactly. Yeah, no time limit. Could be 2 days.
That's
If you're yeah. making it 110 miles, then I get 48 hours to do it with a nap.
Well, that sounds fair. With a nap.
With a nap. Yeah, well, you heard Bob. Bob committed, too. So
okay. Well, I think it'd be great because if we could get, you know, whatever that number is, whether it's, you know, the three of us or yeah. 5 or 10 or 15, you know, and hey, look, everybody doesn't have to come out and run 120 miles.
Right.
You know, if you want to come out and run, you know, 30 miles or you want to come out and run, you know, 10,
right.
like just to be out there, you know. You want to just come out and cheer? You want to come out and help us do some crewing stuff, you know?
Right.
All those things would be amazing. It'd be amazing to see, you know, to see some of those people out there. My thought is it probably would be have to be late June or July.
Right.
Because as Dave Wiskowski, the Yoda, reminded me, it snows in Colorado.
Yes,
so
it does.
June might be a little early.
In fact, it snowed the first day of summer this year. So,
yeah,
in Leadville, hard. So during the 100-mile bike race, so,
crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the later the better because you know what a huge fan of the cold I am. So
I ran this morning and it was in the 70s and I was like, I maybe should have wore pants.
Right. I need a jacket. It's freezing.
Oh my
here.
Gosh! Well,
Florida will spoil you.
Cold. He loves coming to the cold Louisiana Marathon.
I do. Yes. Don't call me out for that.
Oh, well, Matt told me that's his favorite race.
Yeah. I think I've made it.
It's definitely his favorite race.
Love Baton Rouge. Love the state of New Orleans. Love everything about you guys. Not coming to do that race anymore. Sorry, fellas. Like. Invite me to Crescent City Classic or something.
What about there. The other way? Was Jason interested in the C2C at all?
I asked him. He said he stated the rules at that time that his wife allows one crazy thing a year, so he's got to be very
selective. It's not
that
crazy.
It's not. I thought it was a, I mean, that's just a boys' weekend.
Yeah.
Running. What are you doing this weekend, honey? Running across the state of Florida. That doesn't count as crazy.
Right.
Not in the Cohen household.
You just keep increasing the standard for crazy, and suddenly right. things don't apply for that anymore.
Exactly. Oh, he's just, oh, so that's,
By the way, her wording was dumb.
Dumb. Okay. Dumb. Sorry.
So the CDC might be a little crazy, but it's not quite dumb. I need something more dumb.
Dumb, right. Yeah, that's just too commonplace. She'd be like, that's not even, why are you even asking me about
that? Oh, then it shouldn't even be an ask. It's just, I could just go do this.
It's not an ask. Right. Well, man, Jason, I can't thank you enough for being on. You are episode number 3, man. That was awesome. I appreciate you agreeing to do it on short notice and not asking too many questions because you knew I wasn't going to answer any of them anyway.
It's a matter of life's about a matter of expectations, and right.
You know what planners we are, what careful, thoughtful planners you and I are.
That's okay.
Seems to be a
good
thing.
It's Mike Constant's job.
It makes
job.
It more fun that way. I wouldn't want it any other way.
I feel the exact same way.
That's right. That's the plan. And
well, thank y'all.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank y'all again for having me, and I look forward to seeing where things go for this with you guys. We can't have enough people talking about. I know this is episode 3, and you're just now getting things, but know that what you're doing and these conversations, it'll help people, and For some people, it may help them get through a rough day, and for some people, it may actually help them, turn their life around and change the direction of their families, like it did for me and whatnot. So don't take what you guys do lightly.
We don't. And thank you for saying that, too.
Yeah.
And thank you for helping us spread the word, too, man, for sure.
Damn inspiring, this guy.
I know. He's, see?
It's amazing.
That's why I love the guy. That's why we had to have him on.
Well, thank y'all again, boys. We'll see you in Leadville.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
See you in Leadville, Jason.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Wow.
How cool was that?
I'm ridiculous.
I mean, he's an OG. He's a Chen's OG.
Yep, that's a guy close to 300 pounds, and yep. I'm just going to do a 100-mile fun run.
You know, what's the problem?
Honestly, I love that. I guess when you went to do the rim-to-rim-to-rim thing, I was like, yeah, those guys are going to do that, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't put it in, like, that context.
Right.
But, like, when you get it like that, like, how epic, how awesome to just go do that.
And that is how, he has figured me out, how open to, how susceptible I am to the power of suggestion. Because when he made that first call to me, like, hey, what are you doing? And, June, and I'm like, I don't know why. Like the last time he called me and asked me that question, I ended up crewing and pacing him for his 100-mile race. This time it was what was supposed to be rim to rim to rim. I didn't know what that was. I had to Google it, and there's hardly any information about it out there. There's more now.
When you first told me, I had to Google it. I didn't know what rim to rim to rim was. I was like, that sounds dirty.
Right. It does. And it is. But yeah, but I do think I like his thought process there. And his partner in Healthy Human Revolution, Anthony Masiello, has a thought process like that too. Anthony is one of the fastest guys I've ever run with. He doesn't do races. He doesn't. He might sign up for a 5K here and there. He might do a 10K,
right.
But he's not out registering for races actively, but at the same time he's just looking for that adventure. He's
grinding.
And I love that where, Jason said on our last trip to Leadville when we were pacing Jim Gray and we were talking about road races, when I brought up C2C, he was like, so that's a lot of pavement. Like, he just wants to be out in nature on the trail,
Can't blame him for that.
And I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. The time I spent in Utah and Canada, right. it will change your life.
You got bit by the trail running bug hard,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, I think that's, I love that mindset. There's absolutely nothing wrong with signing up for every race and getting out there and giving it your all and testing yourself.
Yep.
And getting that knowledge.
I mean, we're signed up for a couple.
We are. So soon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've got a back-to-back 15K weekend.
Yeah, that's so, whatever.
You know.
It seems so nothing.
Trivial, right? I know. 15K. Come on. But yeah, no, that's Jason Cohen, man. He's an inspiring guy, and I'm really honored that I'm his friend, because honestly, Tim Kaufman, who we'll have on this show soon, introduced, basically called Jason and said, Jason, you need to get Matt on The Big Change. And that's how I came to meet him. And literally at the end of that interview, he's like, so you're doing Leadville this year, right? And I was like,
I guess.
He's like, all right, it's on tape. You're doing it. And I did. So,
well, that's kind of the way I ended up being plant-based, because you were like, I'm going to do this raw diet before CZ. And I was like, yeah, no chance. No, right. Thanks.
And he's
like,
did it.
You said, if I asked you to go run across the desert, you'd be like, yeah, I'm all in, but you won't do this.
Yep.
I was shamed into it.
Well,
best thing I've ever done in my life.
I've learned from Jason Cohen. I got that technique from Jason Cohen. Shame people into doing amazing things.
Shame. Well, all right. So tell people again where we could go see Heavy as Lead. It sounded like YouTube, and he had a website, heavyaslead.com.
Yes.
You should definitely go check this film out. Like, ridiculously inspiring. You're going to want to go do epic things.
And check out The Big Change, too. Same way on YouTube. He's got over 100 episodes. Every one of them amazing people, inspiring stories. Obviously, check out Healthy Human Revolution. They've got a website as well as a Facebook page. It's him, Dr. Lori Marvis, and Anthony Masiello.
And that's it. That wraps it up. So until episode 4.
We can't tease episode 4 because... No, we can tease episode 4. Doctor.
Oh, correct, sir.
We have episode 4 booked. So, Doctor.
Doctor.
Do we say...
Yeah, you could say.
All right. Dr. Mondo. Dr. Mondo is going to be episode number 4. So... and I'm looking really forward to that, because he's been doing big things since the last time... he chatted with me, so we get to chat with him now.
And I see him popping up live doing all these talks. That guy's pretty inspiring himself, and had a major change in his life as well. So
by going plant-based, yeah, and doing a little running.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It works. Exactly. It works.
Imagine that.
What do you say? Results are typical.
Results are typical.
All right, so we'll see you next time here on The Grind.
Thank you for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed the show, have comments or ideas, tell us in the comments. The Grind, a Missing Chins Run Club podcast, can be found on Facebook at Missing Chins, and also online, missingchins.org. Grind or go home.